Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be here sharing God's word this morning. And great time of worship, Val and the band. It really, it's great to be singing God-centered worship songs, which we always do on a Sunday, but really appropriate words this morning for what I want to bring. See, God inhabits the praises of his people, and the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And my prayer is that you will take away one thing, at least one thing, from what I say this morning, and it will make a difference to you in your walk with God and building his kingdom. I'm currently reading through Romans, and at the beginning of Romans 1, 8 to 15, he sets out three aims that he wants to convey to the Romans about building God's kingdom. And really, I was interested to read that this week because it really comes in to say about what I was wanting to speak on this morning. There are three of them, but I want just to speak on two. And as you go through, hopefully these will speak to you. So the first one is giving thanks. And it's amazing. I didn't know Kim was going to do what she did this morning, to give thanks for everything that this church does. I was going to thank you anyway, because you do amazing stuff. A lot of it is hidden. We don't know. And most probably there were many things that are still that Kim didn't say because she doesn't know. But God does. I just want to thank you all for what you do for building God's kingdom and what you do for this church, because we make a difference. And that's what Paul said to the Romans. He congratulated them on their faithfulness. And God said to me, but he still wants you to be you. Don't be somebody that you're not. God always wants us. He's made us uniquely, and he wants each of us to be ourselves. The second thing that Paul says, he wanted to impart spiritual gifts or wisdom to strengthen and encourage everyone in their faith. And the third area, he was eager to preach the gospel. And it's these last two things that I want to focus on. And much of my reflection comes from my experience at New Wine and events following that I've been to throughout July and August, really. And listening to podcasts, attending Christian music events. And the title of my talk is Living in the Freedom God Gives Us. At the end of August, I went with Ed and a few others to the big church fest, okay? I really didn't know what to expect, really was not sure, okay? So when we turned up and there was 35,000 others, it was a big event and it was over a huge area. What I didn't know what to expect was I knew there'd be lots of bands, some I never heard of, some I had. Would they just be performing? Or would they be worshipping our amazing God? And I'm pleased to say it was the latter. We had an amazing time worshipping with those thousands of people in the open air, fortunately in good weather, but worshipping God. And what I should say was, I think every single session, the people that were leading that were sharing the heart and the good news of God. They were sharing testimonies of his goodness. They were sharing the gospel. They were sharing how they could, everyone could have that personal relationship with Christ. That it was just an amazing time. I didn't know what to expect, but I came away, blown away, just by the love that was displayed in that place over that time. And I think it's really important that we share the good news of Jesus. I don't know if you have been excited by just the number of people who are just sharing the gospel at the moment. Social media, wherever you go, you hear the gospel being spoken, whether it's celebs, just everybody is sharing the gospel, and there's an urgency. And I think this week, if you've been looking through the Lectio series, they've been focusing on our personal awakening in our own lives, the things of God. It's like we've suddenly come awake. Things are happening. God is moving. I can remember going to Woody's, and I was trying to think when it was. Was it last year? Was it the year before? Must be my age. I'm getting confused. But I can remember the meeting, okay, and I was there. And it was on evangelism. And it's something I knew I'm not strong on in evangelism. But I can remember the lady who talked said, "It's time to wake up. The fields are ripe for harvest. The fields are ripe for harvest. People are hungry to know about God." And sometimes I think I went with the mindset that evangelism is really, really hard. People don't want to know. But sometimes we need to change our mindset and open up to that actually people do want to know. They do want to know the good news that we have and why we're so full of hope when sometimes we shouldn't be because what we're facing. And it says in Matthew 9, 35 to 37 to 38, it says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" And that's where we're at. We've got a ripe harvest out there. And it's easy to harvest when there's an abundance, isn't there? You can just pick things off the trees. And we're seeing that in the natural. Val, you've had lots of apples, haven't you, this year? Lots of apples. But that's not the only thing. If you just walk around Bradley Stoke, they've got apple trees just out. And there's just hundreds of apples around. There's hundreds of berries. There's hundreds of acorns, which sometimes fall on your head if you're not careful, if you're standing under an oak tree. But there's just an abundance of stuff out there. And it seems what's happening in the natural is what is happening in the spiritual as well. We're called to waken to what God is doing. And the other thing I've noticed, there's an abundance of worship songs, new worship songs out there. Val, you brought a new song this morning, didn't you? Song of Songs. It's a brilliant. It just speaks about Christ. Phil Wickham song. Amazing. But there's a number of high profile and whoever are bringing out new albums with new songs just because God is working. There's just so much evidence of God working in these times. And God says, see the signs. The signs are there that God is working and we should be excited. Jesus' great commission is to preach the gospel and we're all called to do that. Matthew 28, the great commission, 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm always with you to the very end of the age.'" Our commission is to go out and tell the gospel, to go out and share the good news. Paul was eager to preach the gospel to the Romans about the good news of Jesus, and we should be also. While I was at New Wine, I missed one of the evening sessions. A group of us went along to a prayer evening, and we had an amazing time, I must admit, really interceding at that time. But I missed the talk from Ellie Mumford. She and her husband were the founders of the Vineyard Churches, so really people who lead God's word, and she was saying that one of the points that spoke to me about one of her messages on that week was that she didn't become a Christian until she was in her student years, and she was quite stubborn. I think it took her quite a long time before she suddenly clicked what it was to be a Christian, and that reverberated with me as well, because I became a Christian in my first year of uni, back in 1984, when I was in Bristol. That's what brought me to Bristol. I've never gone home since, I don't think. So there we go. Well, I have, but not. This has brought me to Bristol. Even though I had grown up in a church-going family, sometimes the gospel message is not clearly spelled out. What does it mean to become a Christian? Why did Jesus die? And I think the other thing I remember her saying was the only time she did when she was growing up was when what they used to call a fire and brimstone preacher came and brought the word. And everybody else I can remember in the church I was going to said, "Oh, that was horrible, wasn't it?" And I thought, it really stirred something in me. And she was exactly the same. It's like the gospel had never been opened up to her in her eyes, and it was the same for me. And we should never assume people actually know what the gospel is. What is the gospel? What is it? So we should always be ready to share that message, whether it's on a Sunday, a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, whatever day it is, every day with a day in it, I think. So who is Jesus and why did he die? Now, I know in the past, when somebody shared the gospel in church, I've switched off. I know all that. Don't need to listen. I can go to sleep. I can let my mind dream. But hey, I'm telling you to listen up. Listen up. So if you were out next week and you had to share the gospel, could you do it? Could you share that gospel this week? Do you know how you put it across? So this morning, I'm just going to run through the gospel message to begin with. And I want you to think, how would I put that across to somebody if they asked me, well, what is your hope? Why do you go to church? Why did Jesus die? So this morning, just listen up. See if I get it right, I suppose. That's the first thing, but hopefully I will. So I just want to go through and just share what God did for us. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Ed to put a track on for us to, or a YouTube clip on to watch. But just to, first of all, I want to say, you know, God loves us. He loves us so, so much. And he wants a personal relationship with us, just like a friend talking to us, being there for us all the time. The problem is we have a barrier between us and God. God is holy, and he can't look on things that are not holy. And unfortunately, when we're born sinful, we are sinful. And that's what the Bible says. Sin is when we do things that are not God's ways. That's what the Bible calls sin. And we get cut off from him because we do those things wrong. And when we do something wrong, somebody has to pay the price. Okay, somebody has to pay the price. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was born as the Son of God. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was not sinful. And he paid that price for us. And if we believe in him, and if we are forgiven, and we're no longer guilty. Wow, that's an amazing message, isn't it? And you know, Jesus couldn't be held in the grave. He rose again on the third day, and that's what we celebrate and remember when we take the bread and the wine, but also particularly at Easter. So all we need to do is to believe that he died for us, ask for his forgiveness for our sin, and walk in his ways of love, joy, and peace. It's like starting all over again with a clean sheet, and we can be sure of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So some verses from the Bible that explains this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's John 3:16-17. And then 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What a gift of freedom. What a gift. And you know, it was the best decision I've ever made. Best decision. To believe him, walk in his ways. My past hurts and shame were taken away. And his love, joy and peace filled my life. And I had a renewed sense of purpose, security, and freedom. Maybe today God is stirring your heart to take this step of commitment, come to know him, be saved, and receive forgiveness, and have eternal life. Only God knows where you're at. But I'm sharing that message of hope, that message of deliverance, for you to be able to respond to that. So the track that I'm going to ask Ed to play is What If I Told You by Phil Wickham. It summarises the gospel, and at the end there is a prayer which you might like to join in and say. So Ed, could you play that now for me, please?
I told you that you could be saved? What if I told you that you could be changed? That all of the guilt and all of the shame and everything dirty could be washed away? Fully alive, fully redeemed, headed for heaven, forgiven and free. What if I told you it's true? What would you do? And what if I told you that there is a love that never lets go and never gives up? He died on a cross to bury your sin. Then 3 days later, he rose up again. Look at that tomb. It's dark and empty. Step in the light. Walk in his victory. What if I told you it's true? What would you do?
Jesus is calling.
Did you pick up who that was who said the prayer at the end? It was Billy Graham. Back in 1984, on the turf of Ashton Gate in Bristol, that's the prayer I heard. I'm quite emotional, actually. And it was only until I heard that song I thought, that's Billy Graham. And he shared the gospel with me. I was 19 years old. And it just made an amazing difference in my life. It turned my life from being a fearful person into somebody who had hope, security, freedom, and love, and a purpose. It was absolutely amazing. I can remember being just full of love, full of joy. And just having that wonderful feeling of being forgiven and having a purpose. And I think I went around uni with a great big smile on my face and just saying, wow, this is great. You know, I felt so different. I felt so different. At that time, I was living with a Methodist minister and his wife, and they soon brought me down to earth by saying, well, it won't always be like that. It won't always be like that. And of course, they were absolutely right. They were absolutely right. But I went around for a long time feeling very different. And I've always felt different since that moment in time. I knew where my certainty was. I knew my certainty, which was amazing. So we should always be eager to share the gospel. So that was the first point I wanted to bring up. So the second one is just living in that freedom of God. Once you become a Christian, how do we live in that freedom? I don't know if you could remember back at the family time, back in September, Dave Summerhales shared a YouTube clip of a song by Pat Barrett, which was called I've Got a Fire That Will Never Burn Out. It was a bit of a funny thing, really, because it was his dad jumping around with this song, this music going on in the background. But it was his self-abandonment, because one of the lines in there said, I can sing forever how you freed my soul. And he was free both from body, mind and soul, because he was just so enjoying the music. And that for us is a freedom. Sometimes we don't realise how constrained we are. Life is very tough and it throws all sorts of things at us. Every day can be really, really hard. But we can find a way through because we've got God. God never promised us an easy life. Everyone faces things like world tragedies, pandemics. Can you remember COVID, what that was like? It leaves a mark on us. But then there are some things that are personal, financial issues, loss, health issues, fears, families, relationships. This world will drain us dry if we're not careful. Through its demands, its expectations, its comparisons we make, what we see on social media, on the television, you should be this perfect person, but we're not. Discontentments we sometimes have. But that's not how God wants us to live. That's not the position and the authority that God has given us as Christians. He wants us to live free from the heaviness. We may be sad, but he doesn't want us to be heavy. He wants us to be real with him, though. If we were to read the Psalms, we'd see how real David was. He cried out to God. He told God everything. He was real, and God wants us to be real. He doesn't want us to put on this face of everything's fine, but he still gives us a way through. A couple of weeks ago, I went for a walk with my sister, my nephew, in a lovely place in North Devon. It's called Heddon Valley. It was interesting. I've been there as a child. And we both said we couldn't remember the 2 miles single track road you had to get to this lovely place. That was quite interesting. So, but we walked and we walked there and we got talking. And she was sharing how she was feeling nervous about taking my nephew up to start his new job in London, actually yesterday and today. She said, as you get older, you get more fears. You get fearful of doing things. That's through experience, what you've been through before, but we get fearful of doing things. It quite surprised me. My sister's quite a confident person and would just get on and do things. But as we get older, sometimes our experience means that we fear things that maybe in our youth we just go and do. We just go and do. But God gives us a way through. Sometimes our thinking, we think twice about doing things. It's like a snowball effect. The snowball just gets bigger and bigger and we think we can't do it. But I like one of the things I read this week from Bob Goff. He said, who do you give the microphone to? Faith or fear? And that's something that we have to battle on a daily basis. And some of the testimonies I've heard since New Wine, I listened to some of the podcasts that Ruth Bushager, now she was the lady that spoke to us powerfully the year before at New Wine. It was an amazing time. And what she shared was that she went through a season of desolation from the following September to the February. She felt really flat, she felt low. She had just a season of just not finding God. And it wasn't sort of a spiritual, it was just a hard season. She had to press in. We all get those seasons. And she said what she had to do was to persevere and to keep going, to do something every single day that she knew that was right, that God would want her to do, and to keep making good decisions. And I've also heard other speakers, musicians, songwriters who've said they've just had to battle with fear, being trapped, or mental health issues, and they have to fight. You see, every day we have to battle with living in freedom. Every day we have to make that choice to decide, will we take God's word and trust it, or will we give in to our fears, even in the difficult seasons we go through? In the next few minutes, I'd just like to share three areas that I know have helped me to help us to try and live in that freedom. And it is a daily, it's something we have to decide daily, and we have to ask God to help us. The first thing is surrendering and letting God in. One of the things I think that evening that I missed the Eddie Mumford speech, I went back the previous night, but the previous night I'd lingered in God's presence after the main meeting. I pressed into the worship, because I know that's how God speaks to me. I sometimes have to press in. And God spoke to me, and this morning I really feel this is for maybe one or two people. God spoke to me through the story in Mark 4, 35 to 39, where Jesus calms the storm, where he says, "Quiet, be still." Do you know, I imagine Jesus didn't shout it. He just took his authority and said it and spoke it out. And he was calling me to draw close to him and let him calm the storm that was going on in my mind. And he did something. His spirit brought me peace. You see, Jesus can calm our minds when everything is going round and around. And maybe this morning he's asking you to surrender to him in your realness of where you're at. Because he knows our vulnerabilities, he knows our weaknesses. Therefore, as we surrender to him, he gives back what we need to cope with what we're facing. The second area is, he called me to drink deeply from the Holy Spirit. And as Ellie Mumford had said, every day is Pentecost. Every day we need that refilling to keep us in God's heart. And every day we need to go deeper. There's always more. Isn't that exciting? It's always more of God to find. You can never find out everything about God. There is always something more. Always something more that we can go and find out about God. And I think one of the things I read out after New Wine, it was the prophecy that Ness Wilson had said at the end of New Wine. And I just want to read it out and just remind us of what that said. And she said, "Do not retire, refire. This is not the season to slow down in the spirit, but to burn hotter, brighter, and more purposeful than ever before. You have gathered wisdom through trial scars that carry stories, roots that have grown deep. Now is not the time to coast. Now is the time to pour out. You are never called into lazy love that fades into comfort, but a crazy love that defies the culture of ease. The kingdom of God does not have a retirement age. Heaven still has assignments for you, critical ones. Some of the greatest exploits for the Lord are waiting on the other side of your yes in this season. You have walked through fire, now carry it. Let this be a challenge in commissioning. Do not let your flame become a flicker. Do not allow stagnancy to feel like peace. Do not confuse rest with retreat. There is still a battle to fight, a people to love, a harvest to bring in. The younger generation is watching, not for perfection, but for endurance, for a passion that does not fade. Be the example of what it looks like to run well until the end. Fan into flame the gift that is within you. Stir up what has grown quiet. I have not forgotten you. I am not finished with you. If you lean in, I will move through you with fresh oil. This is your hour to mentor, to disciple, to speak truth. You are not disqualified by age, you are qualified by obedience. So rise up again, pray with boldness again, dream again, love radically again. This is not your end, this is your fire's second win." That's an amazing prophecy for us all to grab hold of and to really work through. And the third area is being intentional. with our spiritual disciplines such as prayer, reading the word, mission and social justice. You see, the change in heart that Luke was talking about last week will not just happen unless we do something to move forward into it. It's not about changing where we are, where we're meeting. It's about a change of heart, enabling us to reach out and meet and grow the kingdom. It was interesting in the Lectio this week, and one of the things was a part of it was saying, hearing from the Holy Spirit isn't passive. It doesn't just happen. It requires me to pay attention, to be an active in listening. It also reminds me to ask questions of God. Zechariah didn't understand all that he was seeing, and he had to learn to decipher God's picture language. The same goes for me. If I want to be awake to what God is doing now, I must give dedicated time and attention to listening to him and engaging my imagination, my intellect. In an age of endless distractions, quietening myself to listening is something I must make a deliberate choice to do. And I know that's a challenge for us all, to quieten ourselves and to listen. I don't know how you found the week of prayer. It was hard work at times, I must admit. But what I noticed once I'd stopped was that I missed those times with God that I'd planned in the week before. There were intentional times. The week after, I didn't plan them in. So they didn't happen, did they? And that's what it is. We need to be intentional with our time and our energy if we're going to prioritise him. So, as I finish now, as we go back into worship, maybe the band would like to come up. Maybe God has spoken to you this morning. Maybe he's spoken to you about giving your life to God. Maybe he's spoken to you about surrendering him and letting him calm the storm that's in your mind through drawing close to him. Maybe he's spoken to you through drinking deeply of the Holy Spirit and to refire you again. Or maybe he's spoken to you about being intentional with your time so that you can give him that time without distraction to hear from him and make changes in your life. So I'm now going to hand back to Rod, but during this time of worship, maybe you need to ask God to meet with you. Maybe you need prayer. Commit to making some changes, whatever that is. This is your time through this time of worship to make changes in your life. Amen.